HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch podcast. The weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Hey guys, how's it going? Are you a Marvel or a DC fan? To be honest, I swore by Batman. The comics, the animated series, and the Christopher Nolan trilogy with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger. And then I fell in love with the Marvel Universe. The way they define and, the amount of detail they put in every character, from Iron Man and his sense of humor, to Mark Ruffalo's ruggish yet molten on the inside Hulk. And of course, the women. I mean, Black Widow to Captain Marvel to Shuri. I mean, did you notice the horrible graphics DC used in the second Wonder Woman movie? I mean, I was stunned. And, with Loki's series coming out soon, I'm looking up to, Marvel more and more. I mean, even WandaVision is finally picking up pace after meandering for the first couple of episodes. So I spoke to two hardcore fans, actor Harshvardhan Kapoor and celebrity photographer Rohan Shrestha. Listen on as they fight for their superheroes. As for me, I think it's clear that it's Wakanda forever. Hi Harshvardhan and Rohan, welcome to the HD Brunch podcast, the DC versus Marvel Universe special. So, what do you guys think about the DC and Marvel comics? Harsh, why don't you go first?
I really like the Batman comics and stuff, and and a lot of those vintage comics are actually really strong on story. You don't really see those themes and nuances and characters make their way complexities the feature films that these studios put out. I think an exception is the Nolan series, which is why we all like this
so much. Yeah,
And, I mean, if you look at anything else, like Aquaman or any of these films, they're, like, really difficult to watch, because it's just action sequence after action sequence with no emotional core at all. I find the Marvel thing so painful, personally, to watch. because of just like the kinds of films that I like, it's just a complete contrast to what I like, So that's my take on it.
Comics is DC. Okay, why?
Because I like the darkness of it. I felt it was more realistic. Even if I was a child, maybe I was a bit sadistic as a growing up, whatever it might have been. But I wanted to see more gore. I wanted to see. They came up with more graphic comic books as compared to Marvel, which was a little more, not that I didn't love Marvel. Like, Spider-Man was my favorite hero growing up. But the problem was that it wasn't as graphic novelish as DC. DC was doing things that was ahead of its time in the 90s.
True.
Every other comic book was Archie, Tinker. It was all so sanitized.
And why do you prefer DC or Marvel?
I have actually a collection of all the Batman animation stuff ever made on Blu-ray.
Wow.
So I have basically like this box set of all of them. I've actually not. I've only gotten through a couple of episodes of it because I got distracted. Mm-hmm. But when I have some time on my hands, they're like small, like 20-30 minute
episodes. And
there's just there's a lot. Like each one of them deserves a feature film. I think even for Bhavesh, I think Vikram had taken inspiration from and writers from some of the the DC comics that they really liked, and I think there's a lot to kind of explore there.
I fell in love with Marvel once the movie started releasing, because they started doing some like great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The whole MCU that they created is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. You've never seen anything like this in the history of cinema, right? But there are just parts in so many various ways, and I'm a huge fan of Guardians of the Galaxy. I think they are one of my favorites.
Yeah.
From the Marvel movies. Yeah, I love it. I just love the characters, because there's this humor element that Marvel has in the same game.
Yeah.
You know, DC doesn't do that. DC tries to be like Marvel.
No, but in this way, like I'm trying to figure out where.
In this humor way.
Deadpool, you mean?
If they had stuck to their roots, like if you see Nolan's Batman.
Yeah.
It's because it's the way it's shot, right? Because Batman is a dark character and also fits with that. So even with other DC, if you see Justice League and all that, it was crap. Because they were trying to make the same kind of humor like Marvel was. You know, those one-liners that Robert Downey Jr. did with.
Yeah.
You don't have that with freaking Ben Affleck. Like, even Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Oh, God.
Phenomenal, okay? I think he's a good cast.
Yeah.
But he's not a funny guy.
Yeah.
When you look at Jason Momoa, you see Khal Drogo.
Which are the characters from the respective universes that have truly spoken to you?
Just the fact that he's basically somebody that's born out of the justice system failing around him and decides to kind of take things into his own hands, and he's obviously not blessed with any superpowers. I think
it's really
exciting, and I mean obviously he's a wealthy man and he kind of uses that to his benefit. And it's rooted in a very human story of him losing his parents and, you know, that whole crux of it, and so I think that the Batman comics are darker in nature than, for example, the Superman comics per se. The Superman comics have a much lighter tone to them, even whether it's like the romance and all of that, you know, like Lewis Lane and stuff is a lot lighter than Batman has. Yeah, it's not as intense, you know, it's not as dark, and I think even with Bhavesh, the really interesting thing about it is that it's the whole idea is if somebody so ordinary and unremarkable can decide to basically stand up for something that's right and, you know, completely commit to that code, how far it can take, how much of a difference it can really make, so.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, X-Men, the original, for me, I think it was about 1999, 2000, 2001, roughly around that time.
Huh.
So, for me, it was just like, it was great. Honestly, I actually loved most of the X-Men, except the last few of them. I mean, I disagreed with certain aspects of their scripting, because I was a huge Cyclops fan growing up, okay?
Everybody's
a freaking Wolverine fan, right? Deadpool is what they made, because I love Deadpool as a character.
And what would you want to see from the DC and Marvel universes?
Yeah, Rohit Shetty doing a cop universe because of it, right? With and Singham and Simba.
Yeah.
He was apparently inspired by the MCU only.
Don't say. But why not?
You have to give them those props for the fact that they pulled it off in 3 films, not just one.
Yeah.
And all 3 films, in my opinion, were of great quality.
That's true, actually.
It's too soon to reboot Batman.
Yeah, true.
But it's pissing me off, even with the way they conducted Superman. Marvel gets it wrong, but look at what they did with Superman. Man of Steel was a good movie, but Superman Returns was garbage. And they're casting Superman in back-to-back movies. Like, if you talk to 90% of the world's public today, Iron Man is Robert Downey Jr.
It's about
the film. It's not a who the hell looks at a comic book anymore, unfortunately, right? Our generation still will.
True.
The younger generation, I mean, they're going to look at it on their cell phones or on an iPad. No offense.
It would be interesting to see somebody, like one of these directors, like, you know, how Nolan kind of took over the Batman series.
Yeah.
Because it was really in trouble before he took it over, you know. So it would be interesting to see one of those directors kind of have a free hand with it. But obviously, I think studios are very reluctant to do that because they're scared of kind of losing the audience, you know. So it's it's a difficult trade-off. I remember Darren Aronofsky, the director of Requiem for a Dream, wanted to make Batman before Nolan, and he wanted to make Bruce Wayne basically a person that loses all of his wealth and becomes like a beggar. You know, and Gotham, and then fighting back. So I'm just, but the studios, they never let. That's what I'm saying. There's so much that you can actually do. But you're never really allowed to do it. You know, the uniqueness of somebody's perspective is what makes things cool, I think. You know, so I think that it's cool to take the essence of something and then just run wild with it. You know, I think that there's too much response. You're trying to be. You have that weight on your shoulders of constantly trying to be as true to something as possible. Then it's kind of boring, in my opinion, you know, because people have been doing that for so many decades already. You know, which is where I feel the Zack Snyder films really did work.
Yeah.
You know, because if you ask, like, a lot of the comic book people and stuff, they're a lot truer to the comic books. But then they're not as watchable or engaging as films, in my opinion, you know.
And finally, what do you think of the spin-offs or the side movies?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Joker's a great example. Right? You had the spin-off, and where you again had, like, basically it's like an art film in disguise as a mainstream. And I don't think even the producers in the studio probably expected it to become what it has. It just goes to show if you really commit to character and you're not thinking about the comic book fans while making the film, you know, you might surprise yourself with how many people you reach out to. You know, I don't think anybody expected Joker, which is basically like a very, very dark film in a lot of ways. And it's a like really a commentary on society and you know, all of those things. And there were a lot of themes in that film that were very relevant to current modern day America and North America and what's going on there. You know, and I think that's kind of why it really captured the imagination so much, because it just felt like this is a person that is not necessarily right, but this is what happened to him, and this is why he is the way that he is, you know. And I think that was the really interesting thing about that film and about that character. Because you want, even if somebody's wearing a mask or a cape, I think the more fascinating thing is to understand, why is this person the way that he is? Who is this person really beyond the, you know, the gimmicks and the gadgets?
And finally, what do you think of the spin-offs or the side movies?
Look at what Marvel is doing. Now, their side films are Black Panther and Deadpool. Their other side films is Guardians of the Galaxy. Then there's Ant-Man. Then there's, what's that other dude? Benedict Cumberbatch.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. It's all the movies. Like, I loved it.
Same.
Yeah, so like, these are all great. See, what do we watch this for? We watch, as fans, we watch this so that we can be transported for that 2-hour period into that fantasy. Maybe also have like a nostalgic aspect of our childhood, reliving it, right, through that 2-hour experience. So when you nail that, as a 35-year-old a person who was born in the 80s, you're transported back to that time where everything was a lot more innocent and you could wonder. You can have those fantasies, and you didn't have to face the realities of life of what we have to do today.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. That's why we watch these movies. We want a giant bag of popcorn, some fizzy drink, spend 2.5 hours with a goddamn phenomenal experience. And that's what we're providing us.
Yeah, true.
You need to pull up their socks.
Yeah, I
want to get close to the MCU. How, at this level, when you're competing against Marvel, can you afford to take? I mean, Wonder Woman is one of your best characters. You're really, really, like, you've already f***ed up Superman, you've already f***ed up Batman. I'm sorry, what are y'all doing?
What is left?
Yeah, the only thing that's left is Aquaman.
Thank you so much, Harsh and Rohan, for joining us for this fun conversation. Is dining in at restaurants finally making a comeback? Seems like it, with the number of people who posted about their special Valentine's or even Galentine's Day meals at eateries on Instagram. While it may seem like a relatively safe option in Delhi, that really isn't the case in Mumbai, which seems to be battling a fresh spike and strain of COVID. So if you're tired of ordering in and microwaving your food and don't live with parents or with people with ailments, then sure, venture out. But just make sure you sanitize everything and keep your mask on. And maybe go at a time when you know many tables will be occupied, even if it's inconvenient for you. Because that's what I would do. But I'm happy ordering in occasionally for now. I'll wait for the vaccine to dine out. Here's what HT Brunch columnist V. Sangvi has to say about eating out.
It's probably too early to be really optimistic, but I do have the feeling that restaurants are coming back. People are going out and life is assuming some semblance of normalcy. I'll tell you what I based this on. You remember Valentine's Day a couple of weeks ago? Well, I went out for 3-4 meals on Valentine's Day just to see the crowds. And what astonished me was that every restaurant I went to was jam-packed. There were people waiting for tables. And it wasn't just young people. It was older people as well. I went to a mall which had a new food area. That was jam-packed. People were walking around. I went to Le Cirque, which is probably Delhi's most exclusive restaurant. That was jam-packed. So why are we going out again? I think part of the reason is we feel safe. At least in Delhi, numbers have come down. We feel that the danger is minimal. But also, I think there's just a lot of suppressed demand. People are fed up of sitting at home. They're fed up, actually, and we have to say this, of delivery. They're fed up of having things that they have to assemble themselves and put in little packets on the table. They want to go out. They want to be spoiled. They want the idea of service. They want the idea of great restaurant food. Will it last? I think it will. I think restaurants are back. It could change. There may well be a second wave or a third wave. In Bombay, for instance, people are a little nervous at the moment. But I do genuinely believe that if nothing untoward happens, the restaurant sector in India finally is back.
Spring is here, and as the season of hope and color begins, why not indulge yourself a little? After months of not ordering in or not venturing out or, you know, not shopping, why not take that long drive you've been putting off, armed with sanitizers and masks, of course, and bite into ice cream if there's no scope of a sore throat in sight? Well, for me, I've been craving a decadent hazelnut dark chocolate cake. So I'm going to get myself just that. And another dress from Ada by Lisha. It's cotton, 100% comfortable and has pockets. My weakness. Well, here's what HT Brunch columnist Rehana Munir has to say about the season of decadence.
It's hard to resist the seductions of springtime. And you don't have to be in the great outdoors to feel it. It's everywhere. It's in your city street when you go down to pick up your laundry and do whatever it is that we're still allowed to do. And you see these suddenly extravagant trees everywhere around you. You know, it's a season of riches, of color, of activity, of glorious cliches, of hope and rejuvenation. In a month or so, we'll have Holi. And there's, you know, all this in this era of pandemic-fueled slowness, we suddenly have an apt metaphor for hope. We feel like the winter of our discontent has finally passed, and we're all feeding off this very real possibility of plenty. There's this illusion, for example, of having plenty of vaccines to choose from, but that's not the kind of plenty that I'm talking about. Of late, I've been thinking about this idea of decadence and indulgence. And decadence has always had this very, you know, sinful association, all kinds of very, very dangerous things that we might do, which will lead us down the path to temptation. And then there'll be all these proportionate punishments to endure. But like this friend who's been toying with the idea of a very austere diet for a while now says, this is not the time to deny oneself. You know, she's back in a very strict lockdown. And, you know, I think the one thing that we've learned from these times is that indulge yourself while you can. But indulgence and decadence themselves have different meanings for different people. The other day, someone said, I had these 2 hours to myself and I went wild. And I was kind of imagining what could they be up to? What could they have been up to? And they said that they cleaned all the cupboards in the house. Well, if that winds your watch, that's great. But in this week's column, I'm slothfully slithering down the den of decadence, and I'm hoping to drag you down there with me, where it's a whole lot of fun. I hope you enjoy it more than is good for you. Bye.
Did you enjoy our a cappella Christmas special song? Well, when I heard that the vocalist, Delhi NCR-based Pia Poddar, has come out with her debut single, I had to give it a listen. And it's as pure and magical as I had imagined. And then some. Dedication and hard work really shines through, as is the case with this versatile young singer, whom we got to sing a rendition of her debut Tornado for you. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, my name is Pia Poddar and I'm a Delhi-based singer-songwriter. The song you're going to be listening to next is my debut single Tornado, which is now out on all streaming platforms. The song has been produced and arranged by Delhi-based producer and musician Barun Sinha. Hope you like it.
Only my thoughts away.
Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.